So here's what I want to do today. I want to give you four different examples of things that maybe make you a little angry. And so, if you will, if one of these makes you mad, you know, if you would just, you know, agree with me that that's one of those things. So here we go. The first one, bad drivers. Anyone bad drivers? Okay. So you know these people, right? you're trying to get your family into church and they cut you off in the church parking lot. You give them the blessing, right? Bad drivers. Okay. Here's another one. One uppers. It's those people. You might not know what this is. Let me tell you, it's those people that you're like, man, I can't wait. I'm going on vacation to Florida. And they're like, that reminds me when we went to Turks and Caicos. It was amazing. Always got a one up. Anybody angry with the one uppers? Okay, how about this one? Food photographers. Not professional, but the ones that, you know, take pictures of their meal to show you. Because just eat it. You know, you're only going to get 20 likes on that post anyway, but no. You know, I got this food photographers. All right, last one. Left on red. You know this? They've read your text but not replied. You're just waiting. Anybody mad? Like when, you know, come on. At least make it to where I can't see that you read my text message, right? Listen, these are kind of light and funny, but the truth is we have an anger issue. We really do. You don't believe me? Let me show you the numbers, okay? The global rise of unhappiness. According to the Global Emotions Report from Gallup, negative emotions, the aggregate of stress, sadness, anger, worry, and physical pain that people feel every day, reached a new record in the history of Gallup's tracking. Now, this is straight from the report. Check this out. As negative emotions have increased globally, so has civil unrest. According to the Gallup Peace Index, riots, strikes, anti-government demonstrations increased 244% from 2011 to 19. How about 2020? You remember that? No, we won't forget that year, right? In 2020, though, unrest increased exponentially with 15,000 protests estimated globally. We might pass that one now. We've got anger issues. And that's like riots and stuff. But you know this because you feel this on holidays, at home with your family. Maybe in your office or in your marriage or even with people that you thought you were really close friends with. Anger is rising. And so today the title of our message is Break the Anger Cycle. We need to break it. We need to stop it. We need to find healing for our hearts. Ephesians 4:26 says this, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." If you're anything like me, heck, if you're human, you've likely failed at this. You've probably sinned in your anger. So, what do you do when you've got an anger issue? What do you do when you lose your temper? What do you do when you just, You sin in your anger. The good news is that we can look to Jesus for his example, because Jesus himself actually struggled with or experienced anger just like you and me. We're in our series called Been There. Been There. And in this series, we've been exploring the different things that Jesus has been through. And in fact, whatever pain you are facing, whatever challenge you are enduring, Jesus most likely has endured those and has been there. He understands. So, if you've ever lost your temper, if you've ever been angry, you're not alone. Jesus gets it. He understands. Now, when Christians think about anger and Jesus being angry, most think of the time where he flipped the tables because there was corruption in the temple, right? But there's another instance that a lot of people overlook, and it's in Mark chapter 3. Now check this out. Mark 3 says this: Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then it says, he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. Anybody get angry when people don't answer you? There's a moment there. He says, and then it says, he looked around at them. What did he do? He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Jesus dealt with anger. So what is anger? Let me give you one definition. The American Psychological Association defines anger as an emotion characterized by tension and hostility arising from frustration, real or imagined, injury by another or perceived injustice. Studies show that anger is most commonly a secondary emotion. It's not the primary emotion. There's something else that's causing you to feel angry. It's been said that anger is the outward expression of an internal wound or offense. Something happened. It's something internal. And you see this in your own life. Maybe it's grief. You lost a loved one. Maybe it's sadness or fear, insecurity or disrespect that you've experienced. All of these emotions, and many others, can be the root of your anger. Now, I want you to hear this clearly. It is not a sin to be angry, but anger can lead to sin. So let me show you this cycle of anger, okay? This is how anger works out. First, there's an offense, okay? Somebody disrespects you, or you feel demeaned, or someone you love hurts you, and it's an offense that takes place. then that offense plants a seed in your heart. And the seed, if it goes unnoticed or unattended, it begins to grow into a root. And this becomes a root of bitterness. And the root is growing underneath. You can't see it, but it's growing. And actually, there's small signs that there's a root of bitterness growing. You know what it is. It's that eye roll, right? It's that moment where you're like, you know, that sigh. It's these microaggressions that just kind of show that there's a root of bitterness growing inside of you. And that root actually becomes an outburst, right? There's the spewers of the world. These are people that, like when you just let go, everything has built up and you just lose it, right? It's almost like you emotionally vomit and then you feel good, but everyone around you is covered in it. And what happens when you do that, when you have that outburst, it actually starts the cycle over again in them, in the people that suffered your wrath. So how do we break this cycle? What do we do to break this cycle of anger? I'm going to give you three ways to break the anger cycle. Three, okay? Here we go. Number one, discover. Number two, disclose. And number three, deny. Number one, discover. Why am I mad? James chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight." You've got to discover what's making me angry. What's the root? What's the thing that happened? Were you hurt? Were you disrespected? Were you offended? You've got to ask, what is making me mad? I'm going to give you this tool today. This is going to help you when you're angry. Are you ready for this? It's 3-2-1-1-2-3. What the heck is bothering me? You can almost make a song out of that. And there's so many other tools. There's so many great tools to help you deal with your anger and to manage your anger. And counseling is a great thing. And slowing down enough to just breathe and to just ask, why am I getting mad? There's a root. There's a root. You got to discover the root. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says this, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." You've got to discover the root. And again, there's a lot of great tools out there. There's a lot of great hacks out there. But let me give you one that's really powerful. Pray. Just pray. Here's one of the simple prayers. Pray, "Holy Spirit, help me. Help me discover what that root is. Help me to see what it is that's making me angry." So you discover the root and then you disclose. You got to talk about it, okay? You got to bring it to light. We know this, that sin grows best in the dark. So turn on the light. Flip the light on. Expose it. Disclose it. Talk about it. Because here's the thing. Everybody knows that you're mad. We just don't know why. We need you to talk about this. It was clear that Jesus was angry. In verse 5, it says this, he looked around at them angrily. He looked at them. It was clear he was angry. So let's just stop and talk about the look, okay? Next week is Mother's Day. And we love our mamas. We honor our moms. We show them all the love, and moms have a look. It's a look that when you see it, sends shivers down your spine. It's the look that says, boy, you about to get it. Moms have a look. There's a look, right? You got to talk about it. You got to just disclose it. I'm angry because I'm hurt. I'm angry because you offended me. I'm angry, and I don't know why, but I just need to talk. You got to disclose it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says this, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Because a lot of us, we have the look. Some of us, we have the lips. That language, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking. You all maybe think you're too holy. You got to talk about it. Talk about it with a counselor. Bring it to light. Let God heal. See, we confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to each other for healing. And here's the thing, really. It's so good to bring it to light, because when you bring it to light, it helps. But only God can actually heal. So here's what we do. We pray. We pray a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, heal me. Because the end of the day, here's the only thing that can heal you, that anger, that pain that you feel, it's God. So you discover, you disclose, and then you deny, okay? And what I mean by this is you deny your flesh. Groucho Marx said this. He said, speak when you're angry, and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. How many of us have been there before? You regret what came out of your mouth. Proverbs 29:11 says this, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. You may have a reason to be angry, but you don't have a right to sin. Let me say that again. You may have a reason, a real reason, to be angry, but you do not have a right to sin. The moment you became a follower of Jesus, that right was revoked. You can't sin. So you're like, well, I just need to rage out. Nope. Well, they deserve my wrath. Nope. It's just the way I grew up. Nope. And not all anger is explosive. Some of it is actually subtle. It's the silent treatment. It's the cold shoulder. You know what I'm talking about. You're ignoring somebody. You're not talking to somebody that you usually talk to. You know what I'm talking about. It's the, I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to talk to you today. I'm not going to listen to you today. Or maybe, you know, you're withholding something. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can be angry, but do not sin. It's not a right to sin. It's not a right to sin. Look, let's take a look back at Jesus and how he handled anger. What did he do? First, let's look at what he didn't do. Okay? He's looking around at them and they're making him mad. And why were they making him mad? Because they were getting in the way of that man's healing. It was a righteous anger. So, what he didn't do was he didn't lash out at them. He could have, but he didn't. What did he do? Jesus was angry at these people, at the religious leaders. So he gave them the look, but he did not sin. He heals the man's hand, knowing that doing so would lead the Pharisees to go off and plot on how to kill him. What did he do? He did his Father's will. Is it fair? No. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Is it Christ-like? You better believe it. He calls us to deny our flesh, to not act out, to not lash out. That's what we do as Christ followers. And if you struggle with this, here's what you can do. You can pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. Not me, not what I want, not my desires, but your way, Holy Spirit. So let me give you these three simple but powerful prayers one more time. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me discover why I'm angry. Holy Spirit, heal me. Talk about it. Bring it to him. Disclose it. Bring it to light and let him heal you. And then finally, Holy Spirit, have your way. Deny your flesh. You got to dig deep. You got to figure out what's going on. It's hard work. It's so important to recognize the things that are making you angry. Pastor Tim Keller had a great quote on anger. He said, "If you find that despite all the efforts to forgive your anger and bitterness cannot subside, you may need to look deeper and ask, what am I defending? What is so important that I cannot live without? It may be that until some inordinate desire is identified and confronted, you will not be able to master your anger. You got to dig deep. You got to figure out there's work to be done. And it's hard work. Anger is the outward expression of an internal wound or offense. So what is it for you? You got to do the work. It's not easy. It's hard work. It's hard work to discover, to disclose, and to deny. Like, that's hard work. So what is it for you when you think about your life and maybe you just lash out at your kids all the time and you're constantly angry and you yell at everybody around you? You got to dig deep. It's hard work. It's dirty work. Or maybe that person that put a ring on your finger and promised to love you, to never leave you, to never forsake you, to walk with you in all your life. And then they left you and abandoned you. And you find that you can't even get into another relationship because you're just bitter and your heart has hardened. It's hard work. It's dirty work. It takes a lot of work to pull these weeds out of your life. Maybe for you, you've just been hurt so much by people and you lash out at work. Everybody knows that you're just an angry person. And if you stop, and you dig a little deeper, you just remember when your boss fired you for no good reason and that wound stayed with you. You just want to lash out because there's a wound. There's an offense. There's something that somebody did. It's hard work. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes the right people to be around you to disclose, to show them the weeds of your life. It's hard work, but it's so important. It's so important. Have you been hurt? Have you been offended? Has somebody betrayed you? Whatever pain you're experiencing, whatever it is that's making that anger rise up within you, God wants to heal that. It's hard work. See, the work that you put in today creates the beauty that you and future generations can enjoy. Let others enjoy the work that you're doing. See, when you do this work, God begins to do a healing inside of you. So let's look back at Jesus. Jesus got angry. Why did he get angry? Let's go back and look. Verse 5. It says, he looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. Look, if you're honest, at some point, we all struggle with anger. We all need healing from past wounds, offenses, roots of bitterness that have grown inside of us. The great news is, Jesus stands ready to heal us. All we have to do is reach out our hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a loving God who wants to heal our hearts. And God, we thank you that you're a God who, when we reach out to you, you reach back. And you embrace us with your love. You love us and you heal us. And we pray that we would be a church that is here, healing together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.